Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I find that every time we come to this point of year, everyone's always asking me, so how did the school year get started? Are your kids okay? Is your school okay? And in fact, I really feel very fortunate. I think as Klal Yisrael, we are very lucky to start our school year and our Jewish calendar all on the same theme, this notion of renewal, this notion of trying to set goals that are meaningful, recognize our challenges, get our backpacks all set up in a proper way, and to make sure that we approach this new year with the sense of renewal, religiously, spiritually, recognizing that even though, you know, September rolls around and Elul rolls around every single year, that opportunity itself is so unique to have this convergence of themes in our school years, in our calendar, in our chagim, and in our lives. Truthfully, it also represents quite a challenge. Every time you recognize that we start our year with these commitments, with these interests and investments in making greater progress and reaching greater heights, there's that challenge of thinking, well, I've been here before. You know, we had a year already, right? And am I making a similar commitment that perhaps I didn't follow through on? And the effort of every year, beginning with a real optimistic perspective that tshuva is a real opportunity and one that we can perceive and realize and accomplish something different from the year before, is one that I think Rabbi Akiva exemplifies in his life, both as a student and as a master teacher. So that we can look at the beginning of our year and we can maintain a perspective of tshuva, of setting goals and of conquering obstacles, that Rabbi Akiva is the exemplar and the greatest source of encouragement for. If you would share with me the opportunity to learn with you a couple of these mekorot that help us understand who Rabbi Akiva was and why it is that his life and his teaching, his personal biography and his intellectual biography, allows us to approach a new year, a new day, with the optimism and the encouragement that in fact it's not the same as last year. That in fact there are goals that we can set and accomplishments that we can achieve. So Rabbi Akiva happens to be one of our Talmidei Chachamim that we actually sometimes feel like we know. No matter how old you are, you know something about Rabbi Akiva. It might just be the song, but you definitely have a sense of personal knowledge of who Rabbi Akiva is. So I'm going to actually open it up to everybody here. Tell me what it is that you know about Rabbi Akiva. What do we know of all the Agadot? What do we know about Rabbi Akiva? You don't have to look in the sources. Yes. Right. V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Zeh klal gadol b'torah. Honestly, it's an amazing song. Kids, no matter what age, we just look for new tunes. We want to learn more about this principle, and it's certainly encouraging, right? It certainly is encouraging. You need to love somebody as you love yourself. There are many insights, but I also found it very challenging to understand Zek Klal Gadol BaTorah. Yes, it's nice, but a Klal Gadol BaTorah, it's a great way to live your life. But a Klal Gadol BaTorah, how does V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha conform with Rabbi Akiva's perspective on all of Torah? It's not just about being nice. What does it mean in Rabbi Akiva's larger theology and directions to us about how it is that we're supposed to live? What else do we know about Rabbi Akiva? Yes.
Thank you.
So Rabbi Akiva, in that midrash, and we'll look at it, represents the continuity of Talmud Torah and the potential for innovation. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know that his Torah continues, and he's amazed that not only does it continue, but it continues in a way that is both rooted in what he taught and completely different, so much so that Moshe doesn't understand it. And Hashem says to him, that's the future of Talmud Torah, right? So Rabbi Akiva's life clearly ends in this extraordinary space, and even if it's not ending, but it's canonized as the continuity of Moshe Rabbeinu, and to a degree that it is both truthful and authentic to Moshe's lessons, and still innovative, and still something beyond Moshe. That's quite an accomplishment to say that your Torah is a continuity and still beyond Moshe is extraordinary. Yes, what else do we know about it? So you talk about Rabbi Akiva's relationship with Rachel, and more than just a personal private relationship, right, a public hakar satov for the role in which the context of her encouragement, and we know that midrash that talks about Rabbi Akiva returning also reflects that he returned halfway through his studies, and overhears Rachel saying, no, I'm not in the slightest bit upset that he's been gone for 12 years. If he wanted to go for 12 more, and he goes without even stopping, right? And so he's able to recognize a certain degree of ambition, but humility also. Personal humility, shali v'shalcha shalahi, and public hakara satov as well. Yes, what else? Never too late to learn to change. And you say that based on where Rabbi Akiva began, right? Who was Rabbi Akiva as he began? So let's look at some of these mikorot. We have Rabbi Akiva lives on a heroic scale. He does. He begins in these very humble spaces, and not only does he accomplish such a great amount, but with these characteristics that are heroic. And of course, Rabbi Akiva's end is heroic as well, right? As one of the Aseret Harugei Malchut, and that's bound together with this extraordinary perspective on what it means to be somebody who is always committed to growing and to learning, to being that master student and that master teacher. So let's start together in Avot Rabbi Natan. You have it in English and in Hebrew. I'll be reading it in the Hebrew text, and please follow along in the English if you'd like to. Mahi tchilato shel Rabbi Akiva. This is the story that we all know of, Rabbi Akiva being a simple shepherd, right? And transforming himself into something extraordinary, as we've just reflected on just what it is we've absorbed about who Rabbi Akiva was. So here's how the Avot Rabbi Natan tell us the story. What's the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru, they said, but ben arba'im shana haya v'lo shana klum. Okay? There's this understanding that Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old and he had learned nothing. Hamacha haya almed al pi ha-be'er. He's standing beside the well as a shepherd would. Amar, and he says, Michakak eben zo. Who or how is this rock, this well formed? Amru lo. Hamayim shetadir noflim aleha b'chol yom. It's the water that always falls on it every day. Amru lo, Akiva, yata korea avanim shachaku mayim. Haven't you read this pasuk from Iyov that stones are worn away by water? Miyad haya Rabbi Akiva dan kal v'chomer ba'atzmo. Immediately Rabbi Akiva rationalizes and argues within himself. Ma rach pasal etakasheh. Just like something that is very soft, like water, is able to wear away something that's very strong, like the stone. Divrei Torah shashek kebarzel al achat kama v'kama shichalkuku et libi shehu basar v'dam. So too will Divrei Torah, right? Be able to wear away Divrei Torah, which are so strong, which have such everlasting power, should be able to wear away just my, my pathetic human heart. the pithiness of my habits, of my history, and of my life. Miyad chazar lilmod Torah. Immediately he goes to learn Torah. Halachu uvno. He goes together with his young child. V'yeshvu etzlo milamdei tinokot. So he goes and he learns basically in kindergarten. Right? Amar lo. Rabbi Lamdeni Torah, Achaz Rabbi Akiva Rosh Haluach, Rab Uvno Rosh Haluach. Him and his son together are holding onto this tablet. Ktavlo Aleph Bet Vilamda. He goes through the Aleph Bet. Aleph Taf Vilamda. Goes through from Aleph to Taf. Torah Kohanim Vilamda. Goes from Torah Kohanim from Sefer Vayikra, and he learns it. Hayalo Meid Vaholech Ad Shalamad Kol HaTorah Kulo. He continues to learn with. What's the rhythm that we're getting out of this? Diligence. Aleph Bet, Aleph Taf, Halach V'Lomeid. There is no stopping in the rhythm of Rabbi Akiva's persistence. He's going to learn in kindergarten. He's going to learn with his son. They're going to learn at the same pace. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Akiva is going to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. Halach V'Yashav Lefnei Rabbi Yazar Rabbi Yoshua. Amar Lahem. Rabotai, Pitchuli Tam Mishnah. He asks them, he's going to learn, now he's finally graduated out of kindergarten, he's going to learn by Talmidei Chachamim, and he asks them, please, teach me this next level, I've done Torah now, teach me the next level, give me some of the insight of the intricacies and the complexities. Kevan she'amar lo halacha achat, when he would hear one halacha, halach v'yashav lo beino levein atzmo, he would go and he would study it by himself. Amar lo, Aleph zeh lama nechtava. Why is this letter written this way? But again, it's Aleph. Bet zeh lama nechtava. Why is this letter, the bet, written this way? Davar zeh lama ne'emar. Puts the pieces together and then he thinks of the idea. Why is it said this way? Chazar v'sha'alan v'hamidan b'dvarim. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it seems like after all this development, gives us a mashal about Rabbi Akiva. So what is this compared? What is he compared to? Rabbi Akiva, in his Aleph Bet, in his Aleph Taf, in his continuing Chazar v'Lamad, Sha'al, 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 Halach, Halach, Lameh, Sha'al. What is it compared to? It's compared to a man who is trained to work in a quarry. And in that quarry, he knows what it's like to move stone and rock, potentially with the right equipment. And the mashal that we have here is, he skipped just down, he says, Pamachat natal kardumo biyado. He takes his little tool, right? V'halach v'yashav al hahar. And he sits on the top of a mountain. V'yamakem imenu tzurot dakot. And he sits there and you can almost hear, he's picking away at these little tiny rocks. Uva'u b'nei adam v'amru lo. People came to him and said to him, Ma ata oseh? What are you doing? You're not in the quarry, you don't have your right equipment, you got a little pickaxe and you're sitting on a mountain. Why? What are you trying to accomplish? Amar lahem, harei ani oker umatzilo b'toch hayeden. This rock, this mountain, I'm going to pick it up, I'm going to get it out of its spot, and I'm throwing it in the yard. He doesn't recognize the absurdity that everyone puts up in a mirror in front of him. No, he's going to take his pickaxe, and he's going to move this mountain and replace it in the Yarden, which is presumably someplace nearby. Amulo, iata yachola et kol hahar. You're not able to do that. And in fact, the mashal goes on that he did that. And not only does he reach a big stone, a big boulder, and he cranks it out and he flips it into the Yarden that's somewhere nearby, but he declares, ein zeh mekomech ela makom zeh. Yeah, you were a part of the mountain, but I'm telling you, this is not your place. You're going to be someplace else. We're in the middle of the Yarden. So we have this extraordinary origins of Rabbi Akiva. Clearly, it's wrapped up with many messages. It's not a history. It doesn't take us through all of his stages. It doesn't reflect going away for 12 years, 24 years, doesn't reflect Rachel, doesn't reflect Kaaba Savua, doesn't reflect those things. This is the Gemara's sort of compilation of what is it that we need to learn from Rabbi Akiva and from his experiences. So let me ask you something. Let's go back to the beginning. In this story, I'd like to think about What is it that we see the characteristics of Rabbi Akiva allowing him to become the greatest Rebbe eventually? Well, what characteristics as a student does he demonstrate to us? What characteristics as a student does he demonstrate to us that allow him to become the successful person that he ends up being? Please. Diligence and consistency. The Lashon is so clear. The rhythm is so clear. Look at Miyad. Miyad. Hachu. Right? We have this Lomed Veholech. Halach V'yashav. The rhythm there is clear. He has diligence and he has consistency. Okay? Anything else? Yes. Yeah, he goes to the kindergarten with his kid. He does Aleph Bet. He doesn't jump straight to the super intellectual existential questions. No, he does Aleph Bet, Aleph Tav, Torah Kohanim, then to the Mishnah, following the routine, knowing that that actually matters, the humility that that requires, the characteristics that that require, Rabbi Akiva exemplifies. We had a hint of this even earlier. Even before he takes the step to go and learn, we have a hint of Rabbi Akiva's humility in those first few lines where we see his exchange with these anonymous Amru. Who are these people? Rabbi Akiva's presumably going about his daily life as a shepherd. And there's an Amru before we even meet him, right? Amru, people said about him. Rabbi Akiva had a reputation. Who was he? He was a simpleton. Ben arba'im shana haya v'lo shana klum. Really? He's 40 years old, he never learned anything? That's not possible, right? But he was considered, in the world of Torah, an ignoramus. We know that he was the shepherd of Kabbalah Savuah, who was a very rich individual, clearly influential in the community, right? And so there's this sense of who this person is. And tell me the truth, really, Pam Echad Haya Omed Al Pi HaBe'er? Didn't he go to the Be'er every single day as a shepherd? Pam Echad, it just occurred to him, it just dawned on him for the first time ever in his 40 lives as a shepherd to ask this question of where did this Be'er come from? And again, immediately we have an Amru. Who are these people that are interjecting with him? So that's a great question. We have to look at the Pasuk of Iyov. If he didn't know anything, why would they have responded to him with a Pasuk in Iyov? And anytime you see a Pasuk in Medrash Haggadah, never just read it for the words that are there. You have to always look at the entire context because it will almost always flip its meaning on its head. Okay? So you're absolutely right to mention that. But who do we expect him to be standing with? He's probably with other shepherds, right? They're out of the air. People that went with him all the time. And this time they're talking about the water and the weather and the sheep. And he throws a big existential question out at them, right? What's their reaction going to be to somebody who they know to be a part of the regular shepherd world? And here he's asking this big existential question about who made this rock. So what do they say to him? Someone has an Eov there. It's in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Yudtet, I believe. So what do they say to him? They say to him, what are you getting so fancy on us for? This is just nature. Water wears away rock. You don't have to be thinking about the nature of the world so much. It's just the way it is. Water wears away rock. And they quote him a pasuk, and in that quoting that pasuk, they're telling him, on the one hand, water wears away rock, and on the other hand, you've never really learned very much, so why are you trying to aim so high and think about where everything comes from? This pasuk, Avanim Shachakumayim, comes from Perek Yudalid. The pasuk right before it says, V'tikvat enosh he'evadita. It's where Iyov is saying, the world in its natural order, and he lists multiple things, including water wears away rock. The world in its natural order is so depressing. The world in its natural order does not leave man hopeful. And so Akiva's colleagues are looking at him and saying, you're a shepherd. What are you doing thinking about God and the world? You're a shepherd. So the humility that you mention, it's not just a humility in terms of his first actions. He had that very first obstacle to start with, to get over all the naysayers who said to him, "You're a shepherd. The world isn't, has its natural order. Shepherds don't think about God in that way," right? Didn't you? It's great. You're absolutely right. Someone who was learned would say, shepherds really have incredible dignity in our tradition, right? David HaMelech. Everybody else? Yes, we can pull out, pull multiple ones. Moshe Rabbeinu, yes. Very, very nice way of thinking about it. And maybe in his role as a new parent, kids' questions, the simplistic nature of their questions, inspiring new growth, all of that's very possible. We don't actually see it here, but you're right. The role of a new eye towards the common experiences. But Rabbi Akiva, all these amrulos are his first obstacles. He could have easily given up. And as a student, he persisted. The persistence is not just in the methodology, not just in the dedication, it's even in believing in his own merit that he could change nature. And of course, that brings us to that very last part of the mashal of who does Rabbi Akiva, who exemplifies, what kind of person exemplifies the achievements of Rabbi Akiva? The person who sits at a mountain, literally a mountain of stone, and says, "I will move this mountain and find it its right place. Every single one of my colleagues, of my life circumstances, of what it meant to actually try to change myself, was actually changing nature." And Rabbi Akiva exemplifies that student and eventually that teacher who believes that nature can be changed. That it isn't your life circumstances, and it isn't the habits that you've developed, nor is it what other people tell you are, that will determine who you are and what you ought to be, right? Because Rabbi Akiva, in this very small Medrash Haggadah, shows us that that is false. Had he given in to any of it, none of this would have happened. Yes. Yes, I don't know, I haven't brought it to you, but that is, it's related to the discussion when Rabbi Akiva goes to Kabbal Savua about wanting to marry his daughter. And Kabbal Savua is like, "You? No, not you." And that's the process through which he goes to prove himself. And Rachel, and when he comes back, not only does Rabbi Akiva give Rachel the credit, but when Kabbal Savua wants to honor him, he says, "Hello, I'm the one that you kicked out," right? So that's the discussion of what his original origins are, and it usually is connected to that storyline. Okay, what do we know about Rabbi Akiva's intellectual perspective and his intellectual biography? How do we see this personal biography informing the way that he develops his learning and his learning style and his learning methodology and the points and the principles upon which he teaches? So what do we know about Rabbi Akiva's, other than V'ahavta l'racha kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah, which I think we have to hold on to? It's clearly axiomatic to who he is, and we know that it deserves the question of, with all of this great learning, you could see a little biographical origin for it, right? Certainly accepting other people and knowing what their possible potential is part of who Rabbi Akiva was. But what else do we know about what Rabbi Akiva's oeuvre of accomplishments are? Yes. Right. So Rabbi Akiva is noted as one of the four Chachamim who went into Pardes without a full explanation of what Pardes is, but he was the only one who's Yatza B'Shalom, right? Yatza B'Shalom, he comes out complete. That's a very huge It's a very huge accomplishment. I always say never underestimate normal. Yatza b'shalom means he comes out whole. Not flipped out, and the description of the other chachamim is interesting there as well. Pardes is sometimes referred to as Pshat Remesh Drash and Sod. And in that tradition of Pshat, Remesh, Drash, and Sod, Rabbi Akiva's particular hermeneutical approach and exegesis to words in Tanakh, what he learns is which one, Pshat, Remesh, Drash, or Sod? What's his personal approach? Anyone know?
Absolutely.
Right, and but what is it that Rabbi Akiva does? He is able to doresh every single et and vav. That's his approach. Every et, every vav, every extra letter, extra word that seemingly could be passed over, Rabbi Akiva stops on, and he's doresh not only ideas but also halacha. And that approach is contrasted with Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael was an exegete, a darshan, who would only focus on pshat. And Rabbi Yishmael was known to say that anything that is a raz like a secret, is zar, is strange, and needs to be rejected. He was not interested in sod. And Rabbi Akiva was known to say that anything was pshat was really to be understood as tipesh. You really didn't get the whole thing. If you just take it as pshat, you're not getting the whole thing. So those two schools of thoughts, those two schools of understanding the words in Tanakh were diametrically opposed. Rabbi Akiva wanted to dig deeper. Rabbi Akiva was considered really like the mystical thinker, the transcendental thinker, taking what was present in front of him and pushing it to greater and greater understanding, even if it wasn't as obvious as pshat would be. Yes. I'll repeat it. Okay. So in the story of Avad Rabbi Natan, it reflects on how Rabbi Akiva worked methodologically, but was also doresh everything that he worked through. So let's go through the second source here, which is it was already referred to by one of our members here, but also it is the understanding of Rabbi Akiva's greatness in his Talmud Torah, and also opens up one of the challenges of understanding how Rabbi Akiva understood this world. Okay, so this is the second source in Menachot. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Bishash ala Moshe l'marom. Moshe goes up to Shemayim. Matzula la HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiyoshe v'kosher k'tarim lo'otiyot. So he sees Hashem is Yoshe v'kosher k'tarim lo'otiyot. He is designing the crowns of that sit above the letters in the ksav of the Sefer Torah. Amar Lafana v'ribono shel olam. Mim akev hayadcha. What's guiding you to do this, right? Mim akev. What's insisting that you put these katarim there? They seem extra. They seem superfluous. They don't come with a full set of understandings. Amar lo, and Hashem says, Adam echad yesh sha'atid liyod besof kamadorot v'akiva ben Yosef shmo sha'atid lidrosh al kol kotz v'kotz talin talin shal halachot. Right? So in the future, there's one person who has a particular understanding and a skill who will be able to learn out from each one of these ketarim above the ksav of the Sefer Torah. Talim v'talim shel halachot. There are going to be multiple layers of halachot that are learned from this. Amar lefanav. Moshe says, Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, harehu li. Show me who this person is. Amar lo, chazar l'acharecha. Let me take you back to the future, as I would imagine. Halach v'yashav b'sof shmona shirot. Moshe is sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, at last eight rows. V'lo chaya yodeh mahen omrin. Doesn't understand what they're saying at all. Moshe, who passes on the Torah, Moshe, who actually asks Hashem, please show me the future so that I understand that all this struggle that we're going through to give the Torah to Am Yisrael and to make sure that they've accepted it and they rise through the challenges of the Midbar, show me the future of it. And here he's sitting in the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva and he has no clue what's happening. Tashash Kocho, he's disappointed, he's dejected. For this I'm working. Right? What is this about? Kevan she'igia ledavar achad, amru lo tamidav. When they got to a certain drash, Rabbi Akiva's Tamid didn't tell him, Rabbi, minayin lecha, where do you know this from? How are you, Dorish, all of these talan shal halacho? Amay lahem halacha la Moshe mitzinai, nityashva dato. Moshe is satisfied that in fact, not only does his Torah continue, but it continues in a way that's faithful to the tradition that he's passing on, even if it's innovative, as we mentioned before. Rabbi Akiva has that extraordinary capacity to maintain a Mesorah and innovate and uncover new things, moving a mountain even in Halacha, rooted in the skill of learning how Moshe had transmitted it himself. Chazar Balafnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe goes back to Hashem, a little more satisfied that he accomplished something. You have a man who can be so innovative, who understands things that I don't understand, and why are you giving it to me? Why don't you wait for his generation and give it through him? Amalo Stoke. Hashem really tells him, that's it. Ad Khan. We're not having this conversation any further. Like Rav Goldwich mentioned, when Moshe pushes Hashem to ask, can I go into Eretz Yisrael? And Hashem says, no, you don't get to be Ma'akir, my oath, right? So Hashem here also tells Moshe, Ad Khan, there is a limit to your understanding. And Moshe, who really, as we understand, had the closest, Aspaklarya Hami'ira, the closest type of relationship and prophetic vision that Hashem offered him insights into Torah and into future, even that had its limit. This is my intention. You showed me his Torah. You showed me the mastery of his accomplishments in Torah. Show me what his schar is. Amar lo chazal acharecha. Chazal acharav goes back. Ra'ah shashoklin psaro b'moklin. And he sees Aser Harugei Malchus, right? The torturous end of Rabbi Akiva. That they are raking his skin with iron, with hot irons. Amar lefan of Ribono Shel Olam, zeh Torah v'zeh schara. Could it be? You're showing me the greatness of his Torah. This is his schar. Amar lo shtok, kach alabach machshava alai. Hashem, in wanting to help Moshe understand the limits of our understanding, chose to show Moshe a particular vision. A vision of Rabbi Akiva, who had achieved so much, and there was lots of schar that Hashem could have showed Moshe, right? There could have been that scene of 24,000 Tamidei Chachamim. It could have been Yerushalayim Shel Zahav with Rachel. It could have been the vision of Rabbi Akiva comforting Am Yisrael even after the Chorban. Why did Hashem show him a scene of suffering? And I think if we get into understanding Rabbi Akiva's perspective on life and Rabbi Akiva's appreciation, the depth of his appreciation of the ability for nature to change, as exemplified by the mashal told about him, that he moved a mountain, I think we'll understand more as to why it is that Hashem gave this vision particularly. What does suffering have to do with V'ahavta lerecha kamocha? What does suffering have to do with Rabbi Akiva's orientation that a stone can be worn away by water and a shepherd can turn into a Talmid Chacham? Okay? So let's look a little bit deeper. This is a quote in your third source that comes from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, who wrote a real analysis of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael and the schools of thoughts and the ways of which these different Talmidei Chachamim understood Pshat and Drash and Sod. And according to Rabbi Heschel, Rabbi Akiva is, like I said before, this transcendent thinker, a poet, a mystic. He insists that every letter of the Torah has its meaning. And the mashal that Heschel brings in his book on Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael is actually originally in the Mechilta de Rabbi Yishmael, but I wasn't able to find the Hebrew source for it, so that's why I brought you this this quote from the book. And Rabbi Akiva is understood to have been said to have said the following about suffering. Rabbi Akiva says, a king has four sons. One would be silent when beaten, one would ask for forgiveness, one would kick out, and the last one would ask for more punishment. Rabbi Akiva tells us that these four sons represent four different ways of reacting to pain and suffering. So as you could have, and there are characters within Tanakh that align with each one of these approaches. Sometimes we suffer in isolation and silence. That would be Avram. Avram, whether it is with Hagar and Yishmael, Avram with the Akedah, we do see Avram approach Hashem with Sodom, right? But Avram encounters these incredible challenges, ethical, moral, personal challenges, and goes, right? As Mekabel them. Rambam says he is the model Oev Hashem because he is so in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem can tell him to do anything. The Akedah, exactly. Suffering in silence, so to speak. That's Avram Avinu. And the second one would be Eov. Eov who suffers but complains and pushes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, please, give me an understanding. Help me understand what this is all about. Chizkiyahu is the Melech who suffers and asks for refuah and asks Hashem more from an entreaty perspective, not from a challenging like Eov, but from a, okay, I've done wrong, but please forgive me, right? And then the last one that Rabbi Akiva represents here is David HaMelech, who he says welcomes the suffering. I gave you the pasuk from Tehillim, if we turn the page, so we can see in what ways does David talk about welcoming suffering. So we have here a different source for that, but if you look in Tehillim, this is in Perek Nun Aleph, I believe, where it says, "Bevolav Natan Hanavi Kasher Ba'al Batsheva Chaneni Elokim Kechasdecha Kerov Rachamecha." And then Hashem says, then David says, in the same way he's asking Hashem for Chesed and Rachamim, right? He's not doing it out of like self-loathing. I want your Chesed and I want your Rachamim. Chay Pesha'ai Kisabe Kabseni Ma'avoni. I understand that I have sinned. Right? Ein tzadik ba'olam shelo yichta. David says yes, right? He's the model of tshuva. He says, I understand that I've sinned, and as a result of the fact that I understand that I've sinned, I am asking you to give me yisurim. I am asking you to quote unquote punish me. It's a pretty odd place to be, right? Someone who has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu who can ask for forgiveness. David asks for forgiveness via recognizing the power or the potential positive of Yisurim. And that's a very odd thing. And I think Rabbi Akiva is choosing this mashal to give us an insight as to the extent of his appreciation of the positive potential in changing nature. Right? What does it mean to really be ahavta l'reacha kamocha? What does it mean to really believe that water can change a rock and that a rock can be moved from its natural surroundings? Of course, you can't talk about this topic and understanding Rabbi Akiva's approach to Yisurim without looking at his own experiences. Right? It had been mentioned before as we tried to collectively gather what it is that we know of Rabbi Akiva. And even in the Medrash talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to understand the schar of Rabbi Akiva, it takes us immediately to Aseret Harugei Malchus. What is the ways in which we can understand what Rabbi Akiva saw in those moments? What Rabbi Akiva wants us to understand from the relationship of Zeh Taraso v'Zeh Scharaso. So here in Brachos we have the reflection of what was Rabbi Akiva's experience and what was Rabbi Akiva trying to convey to his Talmidim during the Aseret Harugei Malchus. So it's interesting that in the Gemara, before it gets to this point where Rabbi Akiva was himself arrested and then punished, the Gemara gives us a little background and gives us a little context into understanding who Rabbi Akiva was. And there's lots of things they could have chosen to tell us, but what they choose to tell us about is that when Rabbi Akiva is challenged as to why it is that he's willing to be Moser Nafsho, why is he willing to put his life on the line for Torah in the context of the Roman decrees that obviously forbade it, at the risk of his own life and the lives of his Talmidim, right? The mashal Rabbi Akiva offers us is one which is quite simple but direct. Rabbi Akiva said it's the equivalent of fish in water who are trying to avoid the nets of the fishermen, and a wise fox notices the fear that the fish are experiencing in their water and approaches the fish and says, "You look like you're really in danger here, right? This is a terrible place for you to be. Why don't you come on dry land? I'll protect you. I'm strong. The fishermen are afraid of me too, right? Well, we'll make a deal. I'll take care of you. You come to my domain. We're all good." And the fish, of course, recognize in the water, hey, mayim chayim. This is their life, right? This is where they live. They have to avoid certain dangers, but they can actually live. They go along with the fox, and they're obviously dead right away. And Rabbi Akiva says, that's it. Learning Torah, that is our life. Certainly you can put me in danger. Giving up learning Torah, to me, would be like getting on dry land with the fox. I'm going to get on dry land with the fox. I'm going to give it up right away. So the interaction here is very, very telling. The Gemara puts together Pappas ben Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva are having this discussion, and then both of them are arrested. Rabbi Akiva is arrested teaching Torah, and Pappas tells him, Avaya had been doing something so valuable. Should have been at least I should have been arrested for something good. At least I should have put my life in danger for the right things. And that is a part of the consistency. We talked about Rabbi Akiva's methodological diligence in learning, but there's another layer to this. That you can ascribe that to just saying, I got a goal, I'm an A personality, I'm going to get it. But the consistency of Rabbi Akiva's life was not just that he should accomplish something major and beautiful and recognized and worthy and valuable, but that he holds on to that same level of value. Just like he was looking to transform himself from a shepherd to a Talmid Chacham, being a Talmid Chacham is now actually who he is by nature, entirely, from top to bottom. Giving up being a Talmid Chacham, teaching and learning, would be the equivalent of jumping out of the water. Right? I've given up my life already. It isn't just that this was an external goal that Rabbi Akiva accomplished. It was a transformation. It is tshuva gemur in its ultimate sense. He changed who he was. He was our shepherd, and now he's a Talmid Chacham. A Talmid Chacham cannot give up his Torah, no matter what the circumstances are. And then, as we see, even further, let's see where we are. This is about six lines in the bottom. Bishah shahotzi et Rabbi Akiva lahariga. They brought him out for his execution and for his torture. Zman kriyat shema haya. It was the time of saying Shema. Vahayu sarkinat b'saro, and they were using these hot iron rakes to rake his skin. Vahayu makabal alav ol malchut shamayim, and he, in that moment, was being makabal ol malchut shamayim. As we know, that's part of Kriya Shema. Amru lo tamidav, Rabbeinu adkan, really? At this moment, you're calling out Shema Yisrael, which is Kabbalah's ol malchut shamayim, amar lehem, Kol yamai hayiti mitzta'er al pasuk zeh b'chol nafshecha. All my life, every single pasuk I learn, I try to understand what I'm supposed to do with it. That was his method. In every pasuk he learned, every b'chol nafshecha, I didn't understand how it was that I was supposed to fulfill that. Afilu no tel et nishmatcha. Even if they take your neshama from you, that's b'chol nafshecha. Amarti, matay yavoli dai va'akemeno. When will be my opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah? Va'achshav, shavoli dai lo akemeno. And now that I have the opportunity, I'm not going to be mekabelet. I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah of the chol nafshecha. What is Rabbi Akiva saying here? I am welcoming this. This is the ultimate of all tortures and suffering. It is the ultimate of what you might think as the biggest injustice. It is today one of the biggest theological challenges. Why is it that great people suffer? Why is it that in our lives we reach certain obstacles that make no sense, that have no obvious schar va'onesh component to it? Rabbi Akiva takes that as a serious theological challenge and as a personal opportunity to let everybody know that that indeed is what it means, that if you are kulo Torah, you are kulo Torah. And when you are on your last breath, you're mekabel ol lachot shemayim and thinking about it as b'chol nafshecha. So I'm going to leave this pasuk, this text right here. Even though you see that Malach, at the very end, it says Malachi Hasharet, repeat what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Zat Torah v'zat Torah. And the reflection here is that while most people have their chelek b'chayim, a Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Akiva, this is chelek, he's mzuman l'chaye olam hava. That challenge of understanding the difference between living a pleasurable existence in this world and preserving some schar for olam haba is something that we'll see in the next text as well. That seems to have been Rabbi Akiva's understanding of Hashem's yisurim shel ahava, Hashem loving the accomplishments of those who are his avdei Hashem here in this world, and Hashem saying, if I love your accomplishments, I'm preserving some of your schar. I don't want you to just live the life of good and pleasure and everything working. I want you, it's a very hard thing for us to hear, and it's a very hard thing for us to say, but Akiva's life exemplifies this. In your experiencing suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to you, I want to save some of your schar. Right? And that's what Rabbi Akiva wants us to appreciate, that if a person's nature is really able to transform, if a person is really able to be kulo Torah, then what they see even in the world, what they see in the rocks, what they see in their experiences, in the voices around them that tells them that life cannot be different, what they see even in Yad Hashem, in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, I don't believe I brought you that source here, but there's the famous Agada, right, of the Shualim, where Rabbi Akiva is walking through the Chorban, everyone's crying, Rabbi Akiva laughs. We'll see another text here where Rabbi Akiva laughs under weird circumstances. Rabbi Akiva is trying to tell you, Hashem puts these obstacles in your place because he wants us to also believe in that other realm of schar. He wants to also hold us accountable for, do you really believe? Are you really in it wholeheartedly and holistically? And holding back some of that schar and some of that clarity is a part of the way Rabbi Akiva understands Yisurim Shel Ahava. So let me show you this in what's reflected as a personal Bikur Cholim visit, let's say, of Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Eliezer. This is in Source 5. And there are two versions of it, one after the other. Rabbi Eliezer is dying, and his Talmidim are coming to comfort him, coming to visit and to comfort him. So he's lying there in pain, and the various Talmidim go around and praise him and sort of give him the comfort, the nechama of knowing he's made a major impact in their lives. Right? And Rabbi Akiva has something to contribute to this that's a little bit different. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Kishachala Rabbi Eliezer nifnasu Talmidav v'vagro. So Rabbi Eliezer is sick, his Talmidim come to visit him. Amar lahem, chama aza yesh ba'olam. He says to them, I'm suffering. This fire is burning, I'm suffering. Hitchilu hein bochin. They're all crying. Rabbi Akiva misachek. Rabbi Akiva laughs. Amru lo, lama atam misachek? Amar lahem, v'chim yipnei ma'atam bochin. Why are you laughing? Why are you crying? I'm sorry, we're visiting our very sick Rav. What are you asking this question? Amulo, Efsher Sefer Torah, Sharui, Bitsar, Velo Nifka. Is it possible that there could be a Sefer Torah that's here in Tsar and we're not going to cry? Amar Lahem, Lachen Ani Mesachek, Kol Zman, Shani Roe, Rabbi. Every time that I see my Rav, She'ein Yeno Machmitz, his wine doesn't get spoiled. Ve'ein Pashtano Loka, and his flax doesn't get diseased. The ain shmano mevayesh, and his oil also doesn't get, you know, spoiled. The ain dafshano madrish, all of his livelihood, all of the things in his lives are good. Every time I see that happening, amarti shema chas v'shalom kibel rab olamo. Chas v'shalom, life here is he's being satisfied. His schar is right here, and not being reserved for all for eternal schar. Ve'achshav shani ro'eh rabbi b'tzar ani sameach. When I see that Hashem has the relationship with this Rebbe, when I see that Hashem is saying, I'm going to keep some schar for this Rav, I understand Hashem's closeness is that close. I understand that Hashem cares that much, that schar for this Rav is going to be preserved for Olam Haba. Let's skip down a little bit. Tana Rabbanan, again, another version of a visit to Rabbi Eliezer. Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer nichnasu arba zkenim levakro. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. Nena, Rabbi Tarfon, they're all going around and they're praising Rabbi Eliezer. Tova tal v'yisrael mitipa shal gshamim. You are better than any rain. Shatipa shal gshamim bo'olam hazeh, v'rebi bo'olam hazeh, u'ba'olam haba. You have a... rain is just good for this world. You have a chalek in this world and olam haba. Nene Rabbi Yeshua v'amar tov atzal Yisrael yotel megalgalei chama shegalgal chama v'olam hazeh v'rabbi v'olam hazeh v'olam haba. Nene Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah v'amar tov atzal Yisrael yotel me'av ve'em sha'av ve'em v'olam hazeh v'rabbi v'olam hazeh v'olam haba. Nene Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Chaviv in Yisurin. Yisurin are precious. The suffering or the pain of sickness is precious. Amar lahem, and this is Rabbi Eliezer first is interjecting into this type of conversation. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Samchuni veshma divrei Rabbi Akiva, tamidai." So that's a statement of endorsement. Support me. Help me sit up so I can listen and learn from my student Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer seems to appreciate Rabbi Akiva's position here of Chaviv and Yisrael. Chaviv and Yisrael, I'm sorry. Amar lo Akiva, zuminayin lacha, where do you learn this? Where do you learn that Yisrael are Chaviv and are to be precious? And Rabbi Akiva quotes the oddest pasuk you can imagine. Rabbi Akiva quotes a pasuk that describes Menasha, Melech Menasha, who is notorious for what? For evil and for not doing tshuva. Menasha, not any of the other Nevi'im who suffered. Yirmiyahu could be a good example. Hashem, right? Chaviv and Yisrael, Yisurin, Hashem cares about you. Hashem gives you Yisurin so that you have your chelek. No, he quotes Menasha. Menasha has years and years and years of tochacha, ignores it. Menasha then is, and what's the quote here? That Menasha is taken into slavery and torture. And why Menasha? Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Yisurin that produce tshuva, or the Yisurin that produce our appreciation of Hashem's relationship with us, not every kind of Yisurin does that, not every person can hold on to Yisurin that way, but Rabbi Akiva holds out the extreme example. They are so powerful. They are so powerful. It's Menashe who can change from that. Right? If you said Yirmiyahu goes through Yisurin and he then does tshuva, fine, you can say it's not the Yisurin. It's Yirmiyahu. He's an amazing man of God. But Menashe can change his life because of Yisurin? That's Rabbi Akiva's way of saying that tshuva and Yisurin are a part of tshuva. Hashem saying to you, I want you to respond to me. I want to preserve some, I want to give you some schar. right? If life's been good, I'm giving you some schar. And hopefully you'll use that for the tshuva that can be transformative as much as Menashe's tshuva had to be because of who he was. Yes, we don't have it in Navi, but the Gemara reflects that Menashe does tshuva. What I think we take away from here is Rabbi Akiva speaking to one of the greatest challenges of our generation and of every generation. How do we understand the expectation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us to approach what we see in our lives, whether they're mountains, literal or figurative, theological or personal, massive obstacles to being the kind of person that we want to be, to achieving the kinds of things that we think we're expected to do, we can do? How do we approach this with a wholehearted optimism and a belief in the tshuva gemura that we daven for? And Rabbi Akiva's life, from beginning to end, exemplifies the fact that no matter what's in front of you, no matter what voices you hear, no matter what mountain you need to climb, no matter what theological challenge you might have, you also have the ultimate freedom of choice to decide that this is something that will propel you towards a new understanding of the Chol Nafshecha, a new understanding of what it means to be wholeheartedly, completely, right, able to take a mountain and put it in Yarden, the water, the Mayim Chayim of Torah. That's the example that Rabbi Akiva sets out for us, and that hopefully as we sit, and as Rav Goldrecht mentions, in the Yamim Noraim, and listening to the shofar and understanding the power of transformation that this period of time offers us, we can think about the obstacles and the example that Rabbi Akiva sets, and believe in that type of optimism and that type of reach and strivings for ourselves. So thank you very much, and see you in the next time.